And so, like I said, what happens really when a very important message, an incredibly important message, comes to you and I, like Jeremiah here is speaking to the house of Israel, and this important message can have life-changing and life-altering consequences upon your life, yea, even eternal consequences of where you will be spending eternity. And when we really think about world history and some of the most greatest events that have happened in world history, and some of those tragic events, even of late, take for instance the Twin Towers event, the terrorist attack on New York, where we saw the Twin Towers being attacked and we saw those two buildings coming down, and we saw the Pentagon being struck, as it were. And it would seem that they were caught completely unawares. And, dear friends, there is sufficient evidence that there was plenty of warning by other governments and by other peoples that there was a terrorist attack that was going to happen. There were many warnings this was going to happen, and they needed to receive this message, and they needed to plan for these attacks. And so these things perhaps could have been prevented if the message was taken seriously. And so, friends, in a similar sense, does the prophet Jeremiah, who is God's messenger, he brings the house of Israel a very important message here, as he does with all of us today. An important message from God that will have very important consequences upon our lives. Jeremiah, of course, was the reproving prophet. He was sent, really, because Israel had corrupted themselves. They had become earthly and worldly, and they had worshipped the creature more than the Creator. They had become idolatrous and had forgotten about their Maker and their God. And so here he is with this important message to bring them back to God, as it were. And so how we listen to this important message from God's most precious word will really determine where we will be spending eternity. Whether that is in hell, a real place, a place of great torment, like your worst nightmare, over and over again, or, of course, in eternity, in paradise, with God in heaven. How we really listen to this message will really determine where we will be going when we die. Friends, there is a reason why Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. There's a reason why. Because very few people in Jeremiah's day took God's message seriously. Very few people took his message to heart. And so therefore, very few people were actually converted. And friends, let this be a warning to us, this Lord's Day morning. Let we hear not what we need for our souls. Because we have a soul, don't we? We have a conscience. We know that there's a good and an evil in the world. We know that there's a Maker, there's a Creator God. And so let this be a warning to us that we receive these words today from Jeremiah's and God's inspired word here for our souls. And our text starts in verses 1 and 2, doesn't it? Where the word of God says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." And so you can imagine the scene. Here is Jeremiah. He's more than likely in his house, and the word of God comes to him, and the Lord says to him, "Go down to the potter's house, and I will cause thee to hear my words." In other words, there's something I want you to see. Unlike before, where I would just safety to go to the gates of Jerusalem and to speak God's judgments and God's word and warn the people. This time, I want you to see something. I wanted to prepare. I wanted to prepare you for the sermon that you will be speaking to the people of the house of Israel in the gates of Jerusalem. I want you to visualize what I'm about to put in your heart. I want you to see and visualize what I want you to say to the people, and then, and only then, will I give you the words to say. And so what are we told happens next in verse 3? Then I went down to the potter's house, that's Jeremiah, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And so there's Jeremiah. He obeys the call of the Lord. He goes down to the potter's house, and he doesn't communicate with the potter. He's just there, and he looks upon this great work. There is this potter, and he has these wheels which he's filling and this plate. And I'm not going to go into too much details about what it looked like, but he's filling it with great skill. And maybe he's got these foot pedals with a shaft that attaches to the plate, and he's got the clay in his hand, and he's molding this pot in his hand. He's molding it with great skill and craftsmanship. And Jeremiah the prophet is there, and he's thinking, why has God brought me here? What's God trying to tell me of what I need to say to the people? God has brought me here for a reason. This potter, this master craftsman, is making and sculpting this pot out of clay. And Jeremiah is looking upon it and he's thinking, why has God brought me here? What is the message which God is trying to say to me? And then we are told, aren't we, in verse 4 and 5, that the vessel that the potter made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so, the potter is shaping it with his hands, he's spinning it, using the exact amount of pressure and everything to get the vessel to exactly how he wants it. But when he's doing it, he notices that the vessel in his hands is becoming unruly. It's becoming hard and ungovernable, unmoldable. And so it's become marred in his hand. And so he made it again. Another vessel, as deemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came to me. The word of God came to Jeremiah as he's watching this, as he's seeing the potter shaping the pot, and he sees that there's something not quite right with the pot. The word of God comes to Jeremiah, and he realizes that it would not shape in the way that he wanted it to shape. The pot was marred and became unruly, unmoldable. Perhaps earth had gotten to the vessel, you see. Perhaps stones had gotten in, and it had become hard and dry and stiff and ungovernable and unruly, and it lacked water. And the potter is shaping it how he normally would shape it, but it just doesn't want to shape in that way, as it were. And so it's turning into a vessel of dishonor. It's turning into something unseemly. It's turning into something ugly, and not what the potter has intended it to be for his house. He wants a vessel which he can use, something of beauty. But now this vessel has become corrupted. It's spoiled, as it were. It's marred. And so the potter realizes, this, I cannot use this in its condition. It's become ugly. It's become marred. It's become unshapable, unmoldable. It's too hard, it's too stony, as it were. And so the potter, as it were, crushes it all in, puts it all in, and remakes it again. He starts again, completely again. And at this point, Jeremiah, there's a light bulb from the Lord that comes into Jeremiah's mind. God has given him the answer, what he needs to say to the people of Israel, and what we need to hear in our day, today. And we see the answer in verse 6, don't we? From the Lord God. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. You can see by those words, they are full of pity and compassion. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And so he says, really, that the Lord, yes, you have become earthly. You have become, we all have become earthly. We all have become like this marred pot. We have corrupted ourselves because of our sin. And he is saying he can completely remake us again. He can give us a complete a new start in life, a new beginning in life. And so this profound answer really reveals to us three main truths from God's word to consider this Lord's Day morning. Three main truths. The first of these three main truths is this, that the Lord God has the undeniable sovereignty over our lives and our souls. God is the potter, and we are the clay. We are the work of his hands. He has made us from the dust of the ground, and that's where we'll end up. But he has breathed a soul into us. We're given a conscience and an everlasting soul. We are his handiwork, aren't we? He is the potter, and we are the clay. And it is the Lord that has made us, and not we ourselves. Do we live in that respect? Do we acknowledge God as the potter? He is the potter. He is the one that's made me. I have not made myself. I can be like proud dust that shakes my fist at God. Why hast thou thus made me? And yet it is God that has made me. And he has made me for himself. He has formed us, hasn't he, dear friends? Do we acknowledge God? Do we seek him? Do we seek his guidance and his molding and shaping on our life? Or have we become full of inert? Have we become hard and stiff-necked, as it were, like the house of Israel? And like Israel, dear friends, we can grow very cold, can't we, in our prosperity here in England. Our sin can make us very earthly and very carnal-minded, as it were. We can live in contempt of our Maker. And do you realize that the Lord has made all things for himself? And it even says in Proverbs 16:4, even the wicked for the day of evil. God will have the glory, whether we acknowledge him or not. God will have the glory in our lives, whether we acknowledge him or not. We are still in the hands, as clay is in the hands of the potter, we are still in God's hands. He still has the absolute power over our lives, as the potter does the clay. Absolute power over us. And what one slight turn of the potter's hand, one slight turn of the sovereign hand of God can bring swift retribution and consequences in our lives if we do not acknowledge him and seek him for who he is. And we can live a life, an earthly life, away from God, and not live for him, and not seek his face. And yet God can, with one swift hand, can bring swift retribution upon us. And friends, let us not play games with our God, with our Maker. Cannot that which he implanted be plucked up, as it were? and be derooted? Cannot the Lord, the landlord of the universe, evict and cast out the tenants who abuse and misuse the temple of God? Our bodies and our souls are from God. Cannot the landlord of the universe, that's given us our hearts, our souls, our minds, cannot he evict us and cast us out if we neglect him, if we neglect to pray to him and seek him and to trust in his salvation? Friends, let us acknowledge God for who he is, for the giving of our lives, for the sustaining of our breath, for the one that gives us the rain and the sunshine that feeds us. Let us give glory to God, to seek him through his holy word, the Bible, to seek his blessing, dear friends. He is the potter, isn't he? He's the potter. And we're the clay. We're the clay. And dear friends, we see here a second heavenly truth as well, don't we, in today's passage of scripture. Like as the potter, also so the clay as well. We, like this potter and the clay, like the clay, we have become marred. We all have, by our sinful nature, have become marred. We can be so full of the earth, can't we? Like the potter trying to shake the clay, we can become stony hearted, and we can become so full of the earth. And what happens when a potter is shaping clay? If it becomes too dry, if too much of the earth gets in it, and too many stones, you can't shape it how you want to. You can't mold it into a beautiful vessel for your house. And this is what we all are like by nature. We've become ungovernable, unmoldable. Our minds, our eyes, our hearts are so full of the earth that we forget about heaven. We forget about eternity. We've become marred, haven't we, in the potter's hands. We've become lovers of pleasures instead of lovers of God. Our sin, you see, has deformed us. It's marred us. It's corrupted us. It's made us resistant to God. Our sin has separated us from God. It has made us hard-hearted. Our sin has spoiled us, dear friends. It makes us so that we're barred from heaven. All of us in our natural state, we cannot get to heaven because we have been corrupted, we've been marred. And so we cannot be vessels that can go into God's kingdom because of our sin. And this is all of our condition. Your sin, my sin, have made us vessels of dishonor and not vessels of honor. They have made us unfit for God's kingdom. And dear friends, in the end, there will be many, many people who will be perished and will be cast into hell. Not through necessarily gross sins and scandalous sins, but rather because of self-sufficiency, through pride reigning in each and every one of us. I will not have Jesus reign over me. I will not have this man to reign over me. I will not be molded according to the word of God. I will not listen to the Bible. I will do what I want in life. I will be as the clay. I will do as Frank Sinatra said and do it my way. That's what we can be like by nature, can't we, dear friends? This is us. By nature, we are like this marred vessel that's corrupted ourselves. Our sin has spoiled us. We have become so full of the earth, we have loved the creature more than the creator. We are wedded to the love of sense rather than having faith in the word of God, friends. But dear friends, The Lord in His mercy has provided a way for us back to God. This is our third point now. Thirdly, that you and I can be remade again. we can have a completely new start in life. It doesn't matter how far, like black sheep, we've all strayed from the good shepherd of our soul. It doesn't matter how far you strayed from your Maker, you can be completely remade again in Christ. I supported them with the vessel. The vessel was corrupted, so he completely started again from scratch, remade it, which seemed good in his sight, upon a true, heartfelt repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be remade again, dear friends, in Christ, when we believe on the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that He is the one that is able to save us from our sin, from our unwillingness, from our hard-heartedness. He is able to take the stony heart out of us and give us a believing heart, a heart that loves Him, a heart that thinks upon heaven, a heart that reads His word, a heart that prays to Him, a heart that loves Jesus because of His blood that He spilled for us for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, the Son of God, came to remake us so that we can be born again in Him, born from above. You see, none of us can work our way to heaven. None of us can get to heaven. We've been corrupted. We've been marred. We're vessels of dishonor. We have to be remade again. Completely again. And that can only come when we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who's made a way for us to be righteous in the sight of God. He is the only one who's been punished for all of our sins, dear friends. He has satisfied the divine justice of God upon sin. He came to earth to live the life that we could never live upon earth. He takes our earthliness out and He puts His righteousness upon us and makes us a vessel of honor, a righteous vessel, an honorable vessel. And so when God looks upon us, He doesn't see our sin, He doesn't see our defects, He doesn't see our hard-heartedness. He sees His own Son's righteousness, pure. He sees us as holy and pure and cleansed, a vessel of honor, though we be full of sin. If we will repent and trust in Jesus Christ, He will remake us in our hearts, like a butterfly. A butterfly startled within the earth. And then that cocoon takes place, and then it tips off to the heavens. And that's what God does within our hearts, dear friends. You can have a new start in life today, dear friends. Complete new start. A new slate, wiped clean, this day, upon true repentance and faith towards the Lord. And dear friends, I would say to you, come as you are. Come exactly how you are, with all your sin and with all your burdens and with all your fears and with all your anxieties. Come to the potter and say, Lord, I have failed you. I have failed you. You have failed. And we have failed you. We have sinned against you. Come as the repentant publican did. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. I deserve hell. I deserve your punishments. God will have mercy and not sacrifice. Come as you are, and He will forgive you all of your sins, dear friends. Come as you are as a wretched, hell-deserving, marred vessel. Come to Jesus Christ, and He will remake you in His holy image. He will remake you in His holy image. He will take, like I said, the stony heart out of you and give you a heart to love Him, give you a clean heart, give you a submissive, believing heart. My friends, with the Lord, you can start over again. You can have a new start in your life. The most important thing you've got to think about is your soul. You can be born again of incorruptible seed. We were born of our corruptible seed by our father and by our mother in our sin in Adam, but we can be born of incorruptible seed by the word of the living God, friends. And so we see this text, don't we? O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Cannot I change you? Is my hand not shortened? I can save you from your sin. I can take away your stony heart, your earthly heart. I can give you a heavenly heart of Jesus. I sent my Son to save you, to make you holy, to save you from all your sins, every one of your sins. I sent my Son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. The work is finished. It's completed. I can remake you in Jesus. I can make you into a holy vessel, fit for heaven. And you just got to believe upon my name and trust in me. And then I will start that work in you by the Holy Spirit, in your heart. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Cannot I do the same? Cannot I change you and remake you, which seemeth good to me, in my precious Son's image? He can make us again in Christ, not he. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. God is the only one, dear friends, that can change us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can change your life. Will you receive this important message today from God's Word? It's the most important message that you'll ever hear, because it's food for your soul, isn't it, friends? The gospel message is being proclaimed to you today, that you can have a new start in life. You can have the slate wiped absolutely clean when you come as a sinner to Jesus. You can be remade and believe that when he died on the cross of Calvary, it was for you and me, a sinner, and that he can make you whole again. He can make you holy again. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. O house of Israel, God can forgive you, friends. He will forgive you all your sins. You know, this is what happened to me in my 20s. I was away from God. But someone spoke to me about God. Someone said that God can save you. God, you can have a relationship with God. And that's when I truly believed upon the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And my life is a new life, born again in the Spirit of God. From then on, a change in my heart. And dear friends, the same is true with those who have come to know Jesus as their Savior. All sins forgiven. He doesn't see your sin anymore. He sees a perfect holy vessel. He sees his Son in you. Because Jesus is in you when you believe on his name. He can completely remake you again. God is the only one who can justify and forgive you. Jesus is the only one that's overcome sin and death. He has risen from the grave, hasn't he? He has made a way for us to have victory over sin and death. He has made a way for us to be in the potter's hand and to be made into the perfect image of Christ, a perfect vessel, fit for heaven. And so when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes back one day, he will come back one day and he will take all those vessels that are full of him, that have trusted upon his name for the forgiveness of sins. He will come and collect all those who have repented of their sins and have trusted in Jesus Christ. And so, friends, today turn, if you haven't yet so far, turn from your sin. Look to Jesus Christ, the only way in which we can be vessels of honor. God will graciously accept you. It doesn't matter how bad your life has been up to this day, how sinful you live. Come as you are, as a sinner to Jesus, and he will pardon every single sin. You will become a vessel of mercy and not a vessel of wrath. A vessel of honor, fit for the kingdom of heaven. That's what's going to count in the end, isn't it? Dear friends, Jesus Christ did not come to save the righteous. He did not come to save those who think that they're worthy for heaven. He came to save sinners. And we are such, aren't we? We're sinners. But if you will turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ, the righteous, he will make you whole in him. Amen.